Isn't it fun to just celebrate Jesus? And I know we do that every Sunday, but it's this incredible Easter story that kind of sets us on fire again. We just had a really nice text from somebody who was watching online, and they've been suffering with, I think it was headaches, they said, and real tenderness, and they just got healed as well. So God can do it wherever people are. It's giving him space to heal. Sometimes we're just in too much of a hurry. And when we make space and the presence of God comes, everything changes in our life, whether it's healing or whether it's what do I do next with my life. You know, this is an incredible time to be a Christian. God is moving in an unprecedented way all over the world. And here in this church, yeah, you can. Here in this church, we're seeing a lovely season of people giving their lives to Jesus. And if you don't know Jesus this morning, I'm going to, in a minute, give you an opportunity to give your life to Jesus. The baptism pool is out because we're going to be, we can do you straight away, but we will probably wait till tonight. Because we've got 20 to 25 people to baptize tonight, which is just amazing. But, you know, most people think when we talk about the gospel, they think it's for those outside of the church, for those who need to hear about Jesus. And the truth is, we do preach the gospel so people can hear about Jesus. But actually, the gospel, the good news, is for every single one of us every day. It's the good news of what Jesus has done for us. Not just before we know him, but this gospel enables us to live the new life that he has won for us. So we need to hear and experience the gospel every day of our life. That's how it works. So if you've got a Bible, find 1 Corinthians chapter 1. The verse should come up on the screen. I want to read some words from Paul. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. And remember, when we talk about being saved, we are saved, we are being saved, and we will be saved. The work of Jesus is an ongoing work in our lives. We're being transformed. Another way Paul puts it is we're being changed from one degree of glory to another. You give your life to Jesus, you come to him, and you are forgiven, and then his transforming power is changing you every single day until we stand before him, and in a twinkling of an eye, we will be completely changed. Paul goes on. It is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate. Where is the wise person? Where is the teacher of the law? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know him. God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. Jews demand signs and Greeks look for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than human strength. What's Paul saying? You can think you've got all your life together. You know, you might think, oh, well, if I get a good education, I'll be able to get a good job and life will go well. If I meet the right person, you know, we can get married, have good looking kids, and everybody will think I'm doing well. Life isn't like that. Life rarely runs that smoothly. You see, the Easter story, in the space of a week, the disciples' lives goes from Palm Sunday, where everybody's cheering, everybody loves them, everyone is calling out, Hosanna to the Son of David, as Jesus comes in to the city on a donkey, and they're throwing down the palm branches, and the disciples are either side of him thinking, we've made it at last. Everything's going to pay off now. We're going to retake Jerusalem. Jesus is going to be king, and we're going to be in charge. That's what they felt. But in the space of a week, everything changes. You know, they slept through possibly the greatest prayer meeting in history, the Garden of Gethsemane. They couldn't even stay awake. Peter ends up cutting off the servant's ear as they come to arrest Jesus. Jesus is arrested, pulled before the religious leaders. Barabbas is released. Peter has denied Jesus three times. Jesus has been beaten to a pulp where he's barely alive. And now he's carrying his cross, stripped naked through the streets in utter humiliation. And by Friday, he's hanging on the cross with people hurling insults at him. How things can change in a week. And you know, as we tell this story and as we remember this story, what we see is the true horror of the human condition. But God has an answer. You know, we can think that I'm a really good person. I would never do what they did. But God always tells the truth. And this is what he says. He says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. He said, all of us. All of us would have done exactly the same. In court, when you go to court, you kind of make your case. And at the crucifixion, God makes his case for all to see. And everyone can see this human conviction. You know, through the crucifixion, this horrible death of Jesus, everyone can see. Even the thief on the cross can see. And he looks and goes, this man did not deserve this. We did. We deserve this. I remember watching The Passion of the Christ, the film that Mel Gibson made years ago, in shock of what the ability we have to do to each other, war, slavery, child abuse, even in our own hearts. Yet on the cross, that thief who realizes Jesus didn't deserve what he was getting, in a moment is changed. And Jesus says, today you'll be with me in paradise. How things can change so quickly. And what Paul is saying is, he's saying that the message of the cross, that Jesus dying, is the power of God for those of us who are being saved. Why? Because we see the horror of our own sin. I still remember, I tell my story all the time, because I was a 13-year-old kid and I had an encounter with God. And I remember them saying, Steve, you're not a Christian. You need Jesus in your life. And I went, I know. And they said, you're a sinner. You need to confess your sins. I was a 13-year-old kid. And they said, you know, just confess them now. And I remember desperately trying to think of something I'd done wrong. And then it came to mind that I'd stolen a bit from a farm just up the road. They had a cash box that I'd just helped myself to if I needed a bit of sweet money. So it wasn't a real sin. It was just a sin of opportunity because I'm a good person. And I remember going to confess this. I remember just trying to get it out. And suddenly, it was like God was in the room. And I start sobbing and sobbing. Anyone knows me, I'm not a crier. I don't cry at films. You know, everything can be falling to bits in people's lives. I'm not going to cry. I'm a man. And I remember being in this moment as a 13-year-old kid, and it seems so crazy, but the horror of my sin next to a holy God came, and he came into the room, and I just started sobbing and sobbing and sobbing. I didn't even get a chance to confess my sin because I was too overwhelmed because God was in the room. But it's the weirdest thing. At the same time, the horror of my sin was replaced by this love that flooded into my life. And I don't know what an oil change feels like, but if I did, that's what I think happened to me. That in those moments of 20 minutes, that the holiness of God cleansed me. And I was a new person. You see, why was Good Friday good? Well, because God chose you and I to make a way for those of us who believe to know him. That's why it was good. It wasn't good that Jesus had to die. It was good that because he died, he's made a way. And this is what Paul's saying. He says, through the wisdom of God, the world, through its wisdom, did not know him. And that's the problem. The world's always trying to prove God or to know God. But God was pleased through the foolishness of the cross, Christ crucified. It's almost like a stumbling block, Paul says. Because how can the sin of the world be put on a man on the cross? It seems foolish. But he says, those whom God is saving, those who he's calling, the cross is the power of God to save us. And it is the wisdom of God to turn our lives round. What he's saying is, the thing is at the cross, where were all the wise people? Nowhere to be seen. Because they have no answer to the problem of sin. All the self-help books, you just have to try harder and do better, but they have no solution to rescue us from the wrong decisions we make. I don't know about you, but I've made a few wrong turns. Then he says, where's the teacher of the law? Nowhere to be seen. Because rules and regulations don't set you free. Do you know every year in the UK we make 3,000 laws? That's why we have met so many solicitors. They love it. Do you know there's over 2 million laws? Madness. Law doesn't work. Where's the philosopher of the age? Nowhere to be seen. Because philosophies don't set you free, they just tie you up. And you might go, no, you don't understand. I'm going to go to India and find a guru to set me free. You can get lost out there. It's a big place. Or I'm going to look inside of me to find myself. Don't do that. You don't want to find yourself. In fact, God says completely the opposite. Lose yourself and have a new life. What's God's answer? The perfect Son of God walks with the cross bearing the sin of the world. This is not a story or a fable. This is fact. This is history. It happened 2,000 years ago. Changing our calendar to 2023 in the year of our Lord. And this Jesus Christ stumbling through the streets, his body broken for you and I, he's clear. No one takes my life from me. I offer it freely. And hanging on the cross, the perfect Son of God says, it is finished. The punishment for all mankind laid upon him. The first time in the whole of creation, where God the Father and God the Son were separated because as the sin of the world was poured upon Jesus, he cries out, my God, where are you? The Father hadn't left him. The Father was right there where he'd always been. But for the first time, the separation of sin, which is what we have experienced, the armies of heaven are looking in shock, waiting for the command to go and rescue him. And we sung it this morning. The father is heartbroken as he sees his son pay the debt for all mankind. And Jesus gives up his breath. No one takes it. He bows his head and dies. At that moment, the curtain in the temple is torn open. The curtain that separated normal people like you and I from the holy place where the presence of God would come, as a symbol that now there is no separation. We can all know God. And as the life of Jesus hits the ground, the tombs of the dead are opened and the dead rise all over the city. And this is just for the critics, because if the critics didn't believe he was really dead, the soldiers get a spear and they pierce his side and blood and water flows to prove that he was dead. And he lay in the ground for 3 days. The body of Jesus was dead. Why do we have to die? Does anyone have a credit card? Own up. It's not, they're not evil. They're all right. Anyone got, there's only 2 people in the whole room that got a credit card. Now, if I said, anyone who's got a credit card, I'm going to pay it for you. Who's got a credit card? Okay. We're a little bit more interested now. You see, every month my credit card comes in and it's got all my charges. The trouble is when you get into a bit of a loop with credit card and you can't pay it off each month and the interest starts building and building and building. And I saw a credit card that is 475% the other day, which is quite a lot. And it keeps building and building and building until the point where you are in a hole and there is no way out. There is nothing that you have that can pay off that debt. That's where we were. Our debt was so high with God, nothing could pay it off. So enter Jesus, the perfect sacrifice. He's got no charges on his card. His credit is good. And he says, I will take the payment of everyone to the cross. Now, the 2 of you that have credit cards, I'm just going to talk to you because you understand what we're talking about. No one else in the room actually understands what I'm talking about. Is, you know, when you die, what happens? Who's going to pay your credit card? It's not you, is it? I've always thought, you know, if we knew when we could die, when we were about to die, you know, we should run the credit card up. Is that, you see, that's the condition of man. Okay. But you see, so what happens is you die, they can't come and get you. Why? Because you're dead. No more debt. So what Jesus says is, I have taken your debt onto the cross. Come and die with me. So what we do, this might ring bells, is we get people, and so this is baptism, and we put them in this pool, and we take them down under, and they die. And depending on how sinful they are is how long we keep them under. Okay, so when we baptize people tonight, if you're under a long while, you know what we think. All right, we're just making sure you're dead. But it's so important that you die. Because if you don't die, they'll come and get the debt. So we die with Christ. There's 5 people with credit cards now. You see, the sacrifice has been made. Oh, I'm running out of time. This is what happens. The 3rd day, Easter Sunday, just as he's promised, there's a dead body in the tomb. And the Holy Spirit comes into the tomb and starts hovering over the dead body. Not in dismay, not in panic. Just like in the beginning when the Son said, "Let there be light," and there was. This Holy Spirit fills the tomb and calls the body back to life. The grave clothes are folded, meaning the debt is paid. You look, if we just hold you under in the water, you're dead, right? Really dead. Dead. Okay, and it's one thing to be forgiven, okay, and it's one thing to get rid of the debt, but what's the point if you can't live? So the debt is all paid, but this is the wisdom of God. The sun is going to rise. And if Jesus rises, he brings us with him. You see, we do need to be dead, just like Jesus. We die to our old life, but we come up with a brand new life. The grave clothes are folded. I mean, very symbolic for the Jews. The debt is paid in full. This body is no longer broken. Jesus' body is no longer broken. Remember, his body had been ripped to bits, but it is scarred. Because lots of people ask me, well, how do you know it's not going to all happen again? Because every time when we look in heaven, we'll see the scarred body of Jesus and we will never forget what he's done. We'll never forget what it cost Jesus. This body of Jesus is no longer weak and subject to the laws of this world, but it is raised in power. This body can now walk through walls. I'm going to get one of those bodies. It's no longer mortal, but immortal. It's no longer in dishonor and broken and shame, but it is raised in glory. This is 1 Corinthians 15. Outside the tomb, Mary is panicking because she can't find the body. Doesn't even recognize Jesus, thinking he's the gardener, because Jesus is mowing the grass with a super body. Doesn't recognize him until he calls her name, Mary. And she goes, "Master." And I want you to know, when I was 13 years old, when Jesus called my name, no one calls your name like Jesus does. And it is the most precious thing when Jesus calls your name and says, "I've died for you. Now come follow me. Come and walk with me." And this morning, he's calling your name. He's alive. And he says, "Get out of the grave. Get your grave clothes off." I'm running out of time. I want to read this because this is a beautiful passage. After the Sabbath, at the dawn on the first day of the week, this is Matthew 28, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. Don't you? I love the Bible. He just rolls the stone away and sits on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. These are Roman guards. Why? Because the glory of God is breaking out. The angel said to the woman, "Don't be afraid, for I know you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen. He, just as he said, come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." And you know, Jesus, the risen Jesus, appears to more than 500 people. Fact, documented. And they saw him. Thomas misses the party. You know, I don't know what he's out, I don't know, Audi or something like that. And Jesus has appeared to the disciples. Thomas gets back. "No, I'm not going to believe unless I can put my hand in his side." And, you know, a few days later, Jesus is back and he says, "Tom, come over here. Here's my hands. Put your hands in the scar." And the news of the resurrection was preached across the world. Thomas ends up in India, not trying to find himself, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ across that continent. This is why we celebrate Easter 2023. Jesus is alive. He's living in our lives. And daily we're reminded that this sacrifice that he's made changes everything. He was crucified for me, but death couldn't hold him. He was raised and made alive, and he has come into our life and made his home in us. The same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is in us. Croma Church, it's time to live resurrection lives. It's time to proclaim the risen Jesus. It's time for his goodness to be released through us to the world. It's time to pray for the, not pray for the sick, heal the sick. See, really interesting. Jesus never said heal the sick, pray for the sick. He said heal the sick. It's time for the church to heal the sick. And it's time for us to prove the resurrection of Jesus because of the joy of God that's in our lives. And I'm telling you, you know, one of the proofs that Jesus is living in your life, when people come in here and they see the joy in this place, they see what it's like when two of you have had your credit card debt canceled. They see the joy. People running through the streets. He's ripped up my credit card. I am forgiven. There is no more sin. My nature has changed. We've run out of time. Look, everyone, they're trying to teach kids at school about all different pronouns and stuff like that. There are only two ways you can identify yourself: sinner or redeemed. Okay, that's it. I was a sinner. I've been redeemed by Jesus Christ. That's what the story of Easter is. He's wiped away my sin and given me a brand new life. And that's what's on offer this morning.